Hello, hello, good morning, good evening, and good night. This is She Podcast, episode 357, if you can believe it. I am your co-host, Jessica Kupferman. With me, as always, the very bouncy Elsie Escobar.
What is up, everybody?
How are you? How was your weekend?
How was my weekend?
How was it?
I think it was pretty chill.
It was beautiful weather on the East Coast.
It was nice, although, you know, it started to get really rainy. So,
yeah.
You know what? No, actually, Friday was great. And then Saturday and Sunday, it was nice in the morning. And then it was very cloudy and rainy for the rest of the time.
Mm, yeah.
Jess, I have chairs.
Mazel
what
tup.
Are those ones? The ones that fold? Folding chairs?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what they are. Yeah.
That's right. What they are.
Folding. That's yes.
Yes.
So I've got a couple of those for outside now. So I get to go outside and sit in my folding chairs. And so I put them facing each other so I can sit back and put my legs up on the other one.
Always good. Yep.
So I am really excited by that new addition to our furniture in the house.
Oh, the folding chairs are in the
house. Oh, no, sorry. In the house that I use for outside.
Okay. Got it.
So yeah, sorry to not clarify.
I was going to say that seems cheap for even for you. So I went to go on Friday and had a strategy session with Rachel Baxter Cook, who was a speaker in 2019 and who will be a speaker again at this year's She Podcast Live. She does something called the CEO Collective, where she kind of just promotes you to CEO of your own business, which I mean, I already but like she gave me a strategy every month from now until the event, which is brilliant. Not just a strategy, but to-dos, what other people should be doing, what the goal is for that month. It's brilliant. So I just wanted to tell her thank you so much for working with me on Friday. And also, I encourage all of you to listen to her show, which is Promote Yourself to CEO, the Promote Yourself to CEO podcast. So check that out.
Yay.
It's really good. And she was very, very smart. And it was really fun. She's a beautiful space, which kind of encouraged me to like keep working on my own space because she makes beautiful content from her beautiful space. And that's what I would like to do as well. So
yeah,
it was good. I love her.
We love that. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Yeah. And I spent the weekend in Richmond, Virginia, which, you know, they are the worst drivers in the United States, but also I realize that when you're in Virginia, they have such a different accent. Like North Carolina, where you live, in Virginia is different. Like I had family in Virginia and like they call it Virginia. It's Virginia. Oh. Almost like you're drunk. Virginia. And my cousins lived on Edmund Thorpe Drive, which like when I kept saying it, I was like, that doesn't sound right because I'm not saying it with a Virginia accent. It's Edmund Thorpe. Edmund Thorpe Drive in Richmond, Virginia.
Wow.
I know. So like if you took everything where you live and you put a Carolina accent to it, I bet it would sound different. Just saying.
Oh my God. I can barely tell the difference of how I speak versus other people, let alone how other people speak.
You have no accent. So.
All right.
I'm surprised you can't hear the difference between you and someone with a strong accent, especially John.
No, I can't. What? Unless it's like an English accent. You know
no,
what
but
I mean?
His is like for example, he just said mine before this show. We were talking about something. He said something that's mine.
Mine.
But he says Mayan.
Mine.
Yeah, see? Mayan.
I hate my accent.
I never
you can't
even
hear
caught that.
I'm surprised you can't hear that. It's probably because you're so conscious of how you sound that you don't have the luxury of hearing the ridiculousness of other people.
I think it has something to do with training your ear and being able to hear those. You know, when somebody tells you to pronounce a word in a different language, you hear them and then you pronounce it and you think you're pronouncing it correctly. And they're like, no. And they tell you to pronounce it again. And then
you're like, what's the difference? I said what you said.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
you, because you can't hear it because I feel our ears are not attuned to those sounds. And I think that's what
true.
Happens with me, where there are some things that I'm attuned to and not other things. So
that's probably true.
I didn't understand.
I also just got off a call where I got to see the beginnings of our stage for She Podcast Live Washington. And all I can say is it's going to be very glittery.
I love it because our artwork, we've already gotten some really, I need to get an upgraded this thing.
Let me see. What do you got?
That I have?
Yes, you do.
And so I need to get the new art and I got to get another one done. and have it behind me, because this is really pretty. And then I was thinking, like, what if I have like a wall of like all of
the different ones?
Yeah.
You know, I have the big circle purple vision of our girl in my basement, and I was thinking of using it, but then we're going to get another one in gold. We're going to have another one. Yeah. Maybe you can have that one if you want it. Or maybe you can have my purple one. None of them have numbers, so they're interchangeable. Anyway, enough about that. Also, I just want to let you guys know, since we're starting to record, that John and I are supposed to have a tornado and the winds are starting to blow.
Oh, okay.
Just putting that out there in case I lose power or internet.
Right. If you disappear, there's...
Yeah, that's why.
That's happening.
Or if he disappears, that's why. I don't know if you lose power a lot, John, but I do.
They sent my son home today because we have tornado warnings, which is interesting.
Because you don't want him there if one comes. We don't... First of all, that makes sense to me. We never have tornado warnings.
We do. We have them a lot.
But we don't. So, like, if we get one, we got to get the... out of wherever we are, I think. No, you disagree?
My daughter says, where do you go if there's a tornado? I said, I think Neverland.
You're already in the basement. I
follow the yellow brick road to Oz. Where do I go when there's a tornado?
Oh my gosh.
We have no preparation skills in the East Coast because we don't normally get them.
By the time I got halfway there, the house would be gone.
Yeah.
You just have to go to your downstairs tub. Do you have a downstairs tub?
Who has a downstairs tub?
I don't know, because you, I mean, I know you have one upstairs, but I wouldn't be up there.
I don't know what to do. I'm just going to hide under the table and pray. That's what I'll do.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Okay, so we have lots of news to cover, so let's
yes,
get her,
let's go
get
ahead and get started first with our news.
The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
Oh my goodness. So on May 16th.
That's today, by the way.
That would be today for those of you who are here. So you're getting this straight. You're getting the scoop. But for most of you, you'll get this on Friday. Apple Podcasts released something that they have dubbed Delegated Delivery. So it is Apple Podcast Delegated Delivery. And so this is a new feature that will allow creators to upload, manage, and distribute their premium audio through participating third-party hosting providers. And it kind of reduces the operational tasks for podcast subscriptions so that creators can focus on making and marketing their work. So in order for you to understand what this is, I don't know if those of you who already have a podcast, as in like you already launched and you're already in Apple Podcasts, it doesn't really matter to you at all because it's not going to affect you. This is primarily for people who are starting to launch their podcasts, right? So this is a really information that is important to podcast consultants, to podcast coaches that have been, especially launch coaches that are going to be helping their new clients get their show into Apple Podcast. Before, what you needed to do was go to your podcast host and fill all that information out, get at least one episode up that includes maybe a promo episode just as a trailer or something. Then you had to go into Apple Podcast Connect, create an Apple Podcast ID if you didn't have one, sign in there, make sure that you submit the RSS feed there, and then that's how everything connected. So you had to do all of these steps. But now with these partners that Apple Podcast has launched with, which are Acast, Art19, Blueberry, Buzzsprout, Libsyn, Omni Studio, and RSS.com. Those are their launch partners. Now with these folks, then what's going to happen is there's going to be, they're now using a way to connect with Apple Podcast so that you don't have to go to Apple Podcast Connect to do this. You will be able to do it within the hosting providers that are participating in this. That said, none of this is in quote live, as in your podcast provider has it all and it's ready. No, no, no. So they said that this is going to be in the fall is what they're saying when it's going to be available. So according
Pretty
to them,
exciting,
it says,
though.
It's pretty excited. It says delegated delivery will be available beginning this fall. And then even in the information directly from Apple Podcasts, it says check the hosting provider's page for updates, because each podcast host is going to be able to do it however it is that they're going to be supporting it, because this is now something that Apple and these podcast hosts that they've mentioned are working together with. Slowly, I'm assuming more podcast hosts will be able to participate in this so that they can get their ducks in a row and all of that stuff. Now, the other thing that's really great about this, in addition to you publishing a new episode into Apple Podcasts in this new way, is that let's say you already have a podcast like She Podcasts, right? She Podcasts has a podcast, and let's say Jess and I decide we want to do another show. Then what we can do is we can manage all of that also within Libsyn, who is the host that we use, so that we can have that show be added to the Apple ID that it is set up on and all of that stuff. And let's say we create a premium content for She Podcasts. So now we don't have to go into Apple Podcasts, which is what you were supposed to do. The way that you're doing it right now is you have to go into Apple Podcasts Connect, and you have to upload your premium content there so that it's distributed to your RSS feed, not in your host. You have to go over there. But now with this, you are going to be able to do it from the podcast host so that you're going to be able to upload it there. They're also supporting other kinds of files, because when the premium subscription for Apple Podcasts was released, they could only support, or they were requesting people upload their audio as a FLAC file, F-L-A-C. And that was the file that you needed to have as your final product to upload as your special premium content. Whereas now they've expanded the types of files that they support, and they actually support MP3s this time. So that's a good thing. Yay, yay. So that is...
Yay.
News for everybody. And if you have any other questions, please check the link in the show notes. We have all the information from Apple in our show notes, as well as PR release from Libsyn. And I will also link to a blog post on the Libsyn blog as well, so that for those of you who are hosted on Libsyn, you can have that information. I am sure that the rest of the podcast hosts that we mentioned here will also be posting their own informative information on their platform. So please keep an eye out for all of that for yourself.
Woohoo! Yay. Thank you.
Woohoo! Let's go ahead, Jess. You said something.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the discontinuation of the iPod after 21 years.
Oh my God.
Apple has announced it is discontinuing its music player, the iPod Touch, bringing an end to a device that has been widely praised for revolutionizing how people listen to music. There's no denying that, right? Nope. When it was first launched in 2001, it could store 1,000 tracks. Today, there are more than 90 million songs on Apple's streaming service. The iPod Touch was designed by the same team that later invented the iPhone, which quickly overshadowed the iPod because we can make phone calls. Apple, and who else? What else could you need from a phone besides being able to listen to music? Anyway, right. They last updated the iPod in 2019. There have been various models over the years, including the Nano and the Shuffle, but the Touch in 2007 is the last model to be discontinued, and they will be available to buy while stocks last. Now, let's forget the rest of this for a minute, and let me just tell you guys this, those of you who are listening. If you are a parent and your child wants a phone, which whose child does not want an iPhone? Run out and get one of these iPods right now. Because if you have Wi-Fi, it is the same thing for $200. They can have all the apps. They can listen to music. They can watch television. I just spent a five-hour car ride with my son who has one. He played Sonic. He watched Disney. He took 1,000 pictures of himself.
Yes.
He was very entertained for that car trip, and it's very inexpensive. You don't have to give your kid an older phone. Just saying, if they're nudging you and you don't know what to do, run and get an iPod before they are gone, because it is the best solution. Trust me. You can have all kinds of kid, like, you know, like they can't buy anything without your permission. They can't download stuff without your help. But okay, let me go back to the article now. I just wanted to put that in there. Apple's not paying me. I just think it's a brilliant idea. I'm smart. Listen to me. Okay. So where were we? iPod fans have taken to social media to share their thoughts on the news and memories connected to the device. It's the most innovative product of our lifetimes. It changed the way we communicate, function, and collaborate. It was not first in its class, but it was definitely the most efficient. Heck of a run, iPod. First model was revealed by Apple boss Steve Jobs in a typical Apple style in 2001 with much fanfare, anticipation, jeans, and a black turtleneck. Mm-hmm. There have been rumors the company was going to announce a new music player, and the hint was it's not a Mac. I mean, I don't know where it's not like when Kennedy was shot, right? Like, I don't know where I was when it was announced. And I don't recall having one for a while after they were out. I think my first one that I got was 2006, and I won it in a contest, and it was color. But it did have the dial, you know, where you had to, like, in order to get a song, you had to dial it up with the round part. But you could you watch color TV on it? Not well. If you could, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a video. You could watch, great. Not TV. It wasn't TV. You could watch videos. And you can watch videos, color videos.
But you would have to download them from somewhere else and then upload them through iTunes.
Yes.
It wasn't like you could just go to YouTube. You couldn't.
Correct.
But yeah, do you have any feelings about the end of an era, the iPod era?
I have all the feelings. It's why I have it in there. But it's not necessarily because of the, like, I don't think there's been any coverage of this other than The Verge. The Verge covered it from this angle, maybe just a little bit. But mm-hmm. I would not have the career that I have right now without an iPod.
Me too.
I literally could trace everything back to me getting an iPod on December 2005. And it's when I discovered podcasts, and it fundamentally changed my life, like my trajectory, like how I, like what I'm doing right now would not be because of that. Because at that time I didn't have I was not a music listener on my iPod. That's not why I used it. I used it to listen to podcasts. So
me too.
I would subscribe to podcasts. I would listen to podcasts. I would travel listening to podcasts. And I also, I said this on Twitter, that we wouldn't have the industry that we have without the iPod.
I'm getting a little choked up, actually.
To push this forward. And all honesty, I don't think podcasting would be where it was or it is now without iPod and iTunes as part of the equation there to be able to really, that's really what supported the industry. In true honesty, I still have my iPod with me. I wish we had a device that was sort of like that. I understand why podcasts,
It's our iPhone.
No. Like that doesn't have anything else, that it's just podcast and just music with nothing else. No apps, no nothing.
That's an individual decision, I think.
But they're not going to have it. And I mean, I really love it. I honestly don't think that we could be where we are now in podcasting without the iPod.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It saved my life that year, 2006, when I had one, because I really hated my job. I really hated my boss. And listening to podcasts was the only thing that kept me from jumping out of the goddamn 30-story window that I was working at. It was the only thing to keep me. It kept me from feeling lonely. It kept me from feeling ostracized. It kept me from feeling, I guess, picked on by my boss. Like, it saved my life. And I mean, winning one was also so exciting because I didn't know that many people that had one then because it was so new still, even though it was 5 years after. Maybe it was 2003. It doesn't matter. I mean, I cannot trace this career back to that because at the time I was learning to be a graphic designer, and it wasn't until much later that I got into podcasting for myself. But I did learn how to be a graphic designer from, there was a podcast that was teaching me what to do and how to deal with clients and how to get clients and what to put in my contract. Like, all of that was so helpful. So yeah, it's the end of a very important era. The iPod, it changed everything. It made everything digital, made everything teeny tiny. No more CDs, no more cassette tapes, no more vinyl. That seems to be making a comeback. And it's brilliant. It changed the way people exercise.
It changed everything.
Yeah.
I remember it was fundamentally.
Goodbye iPod.
It's crazy.
I
it fundamentally
miss you so much. Oh my God.
But now we have the, you know, our little device. I mean, now everybody knows how to do all the things. But even then, Jess, it really helped people make the jump into downloading things, right? Because that was not a usual behavior for online. It was a little convoluted. It was also really a little bit on the scary side, meaning when somebody asked you to download something, it was like, what if it's scary? What if it's like some kind of weird virus? Because that was a lot of conversation back in the day, was when you're downloading viruses and there was something happening in your computer and whatever, even though obviously the Mac had that going for it, that it wasn't as susceptible as PCs were. But this helped us understand downloading media in a way that we could start to infuse it into the culture. Whereas it was a novel thing to do at that time, but now it's the thing to do, right? It's there's nothing else. Like, what are you going to do, right?
I just wonder, like, what our grandchildren are going to think about the word podcasting, because the whole point of it was iPod broadcast. Podcast. So like, if there's no more iPod, are we going to start reading those articles again about how we need to change the word from podcasting to something else? Because it's no longer, there's no longer any pods.
There are a few articles that I think the Verge article on that addresses that question. And I think that now it's,
what's the answer?
The word has now, language, if you will, has taken on its meaning. It's sort of like Kleenex now, even though if you don't have a Kleenex, you're still calling it Kleenex.
That's true. It has branded itself into being an object.
Yes.
Because the brand is so strong. I get that. But I'm just saying, like I had to explain the word iPod the other day, and I don't even know where the pod part comes from without the podcast. But Isaac asked me yesterday, why is it called an iPod? And I was like, fuck if I know.
At the time, though, Apple called everything with an I. Everything had I in front of it.
Pod is interesting. Why? I wonder why they
because chose it was a little pod. It was a little tiny.
Yeah, it was a little pod. Yeah,
it was a little pod. It was like iPod, right? And everything iMac, like all of the.
Oh no, I know that part. Yeah, iPhone. Yeah.
So
just interesting. It has changed our culture. I hate for the pod part to go away because I like the word podcast, and I don't want to be called a digital media streamer because it's dumb.
No, they're not. They're not going to change it because, like I said, the language.
They, though, we get to decide what we say. Who's they? We're acting like somebody else makes all the calls. We make the calls, goddammit.
That society is the one that's going to ultimately do it. And now it's too embedded into our culture for it to go away because the device went away. In fact, there's a few people that probably don't even know what an iPod Touch is, especially the younger generation. They don't even know. They're just getting
the
iPhones.
How young are you talking about? Like your kids?
Yeah, I don't think my kids know there's an iPod Touch.
Yeah, my kids know. But that's because my two older kids are older and because my younger one has one.
Otherwise, he wouldn't know. Correct. He would just think it's an iPhone.
He does call it his phone, even though it's not a phone.
He's not going to be like,
he doesn't say iPod. Yeah. Okay. Well, so we have something else to tell you about, and then Elsie's going to tell you about something cool she did. But before we do that, the next thing we want to tell you about is the International Women's Podcast Festival coming up on June 18th.
Woohoo!
Content is queen.com. is presenting the Women's Podcast Festival, a one-day event in London that unites the global community of female innovators and leaders in podcasting, audio, and radio. So please sign up and check it out. It's going to be super awesome. The website is festival.contentisqueen.org. And they have some very nice speakers, very nice sponsors. It's created so attendees from every background can see themselves represented, including people of color, LGBTQIA+, people with disabilities, young professionals, newcomers, and parents and older attendees. However you identify, you belong here. So come and connect, create, collaborate at the International Women's Podcast Festival. It's super exciting. We met the planner, I don't know what to call her, founder, last week, and she is amazing, and we love her so much. So
she is amazing. She really is.
Yeah. So we would love for you to, by the way, she planned this mostly pregnant and then also through her 3 month, she only has a 3 month old kid. She's incredible. Anyway, festival.contentisqueen.org. And now, Elsie, to tell you about all the cool shit she's been doing.
Well, before I tell you about the cool, like super cool chit, The cool chit. I just wanted to share with you, we got some feedback to the feed, and it came from Eric Hoffner, who is the, you know, producer of Manga Bay's podcasts, which are environmental type podcasts where he has some of these incredible conversations. And what he did, he told us that he did a little bit of a really quick calculation on sharing his men to women guest ratio on his podcast. And he did a whole entire chart of it. And he showed that he was a little bit more skewed towards women. And it's really neat. And he actually wanted us to talk about it a little bit because he thought it would be really good for everybody to do their own audit to be able to see what that is. Because he mentioned here, hold on. He goes, quote, this is an email he sent over. He said, quote, in publishing, media outlets regularly publish results of surveys of their own published articles to show how diverse the voices are that they feature, bylines, and also sources who are quoted. So that's what made me think of doing this. If other podcasters want to do the same and don't do so already, send me a link that to any that do, it would be interesting to see. And so that is, I think it's a great idea. So if you would like to, if you're listening and you happen to have an interview show or you're featuring people in your show and you're not very specifically, like, you know, with She Podcast, we would probably, like, we are not going to do like a gender parody thing for like She Podcast Live because the whole point is to not.
Right. You know every time I mean? You say parody, by the way, every time you say parody, I have to reconvince myself that it's not parody like a joke.
Oh, parody. Yeah.
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 Like when I read it, I know what you're talking about. When you say gender parody, I think, I bet it's funny. Every time.
No. Oh, my God.
It tricks me every time.
Don't get tricked. So, but if you guys want to check it out, I'll actually put a link to the tweet that he put out in case you want to join in the conversation because it was really, really nice. I was also featured on the show PodChat. Danny had me on his show and he did a really lovely job on his interview with me. I'm going to have again the link in the show notes of that conversation in there. He's a wonderful, very low-key interviewee and he asked me some really powerful questions around diversity and what I feel the podcasting space needs. But also he said some really nice things about me. I like the
Well, you gotta love that. That alone you should listen for. Because I don't know about you, but all I need is a compliment and I'm on the table.
I know. Look at this. Like the first
You don't even have to take me out to dinner. Just a little flattery will get you everything you want.
It's yeah. So in the link, like I went over to the website and the first sentence says LCS Escobar is a leading light in the podcasting space.
And you're like, tingle, 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 tingle,
fabulous. I know. I want to be a leading light. I like leading lights.
Elsie, is your love language words of praise?
Probably. Yeah, I think that's it.
Is it one of them?
Definitely not presents. Not presents and no time together. Like time together and presents just go away.
I know,
away.
You give zero fucks about time together because we're best friends and we've seen each other in person like 10 times.
Yeah, I am not a fan of that. I'm also not a fan of like, you cannot win me over with presents. It does not. I'm like, thanks, dude, but.
Hold on. I've won you over with presents. But are you saying I have not?
You win me over with yourself, Jess, because I love and adore you.
But also green Uggs.
Also green Uggs. Okay, yes. Green Uggs. Green Uggs.
And makeup.
What
about the Game of Thrones makeup? You gave me some stuff.
But I don't, but I'm like, you know, but
no,
that's
but you don't love me because of that.
Yeah, I don't love you because you give me presents. I mean,
no, I know.
Come
on. It's an extra, but you don't feel loved because I give you things, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yes. This is it. Yes, yes.
It's because I tell you that you're a light in the industry. Ethereal, dude, and magical.
Seriously.
Like a unicorn.
Listen, if you ever said something like that, I would like literally be like, what is wrong with you, Jess?
That's not the, you're not the first person to tell me that.
I know that you love me, but that's not the words that you would use me to describe
me. No, it's
me.
Not. I would not call someone a light.
No, but I
would
be a light.
Yes, but you are sunshine. A sunshine.
Sunshine.
I would say sunshine. Yeah.
Sunshine, yeah, light. I'm a light. But anyway, I yes, go check that out. And then I want those of you who, you're probably going to hear this episode but right the day before. I'm going to be at Podwork, which is the Podcast Network Conference on May 21st. There will be a link in the show notes. And so sign up for that entire thing if you want to check it out. So
Yay!
Yay! Oh my God.
Elsie's everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Okay, what else do we want to talk
about?
We want
to talk about, like, so I did work on a video, everybody.
Yeah,
we just released it. It was podcasting for under $100. And that's sort of like a little bit of an insight into what I'm going to be doing this week, which, so Jess, how are they going to watch it afterwards? My podcasting on a budget.
So yeah, so this week we're doing Tech on a Budget Wednesday night, and afterwards I have not decided. I think the replay will be up for a little while, and then it will be in the membership. So if you want to see the replay and you can't make it, go to membership.shepodcast.com/join and join the membership so you can see all of the recordings, etc.
Yeah.
From all the stuff that we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff, but this is good. Tech on a Budget is going to be great. Elsie's teaching it, and it'll be part of our membership after, say, 48 hours.
All right. And so you might have missed it already when you're listening to this, but it might, you know what? We should keep it up. Let's keep it up till Saturday. How about that? Saturday evening. Is that okay? Because this goes live on Friday.
Yes. Okay. Yes. By the time you hear it. Yeah.
You'll have like one more day.
Just join the membership. Do we have to make, you know what? If you're listening to this and you're not live, just go to the membership if you want to see it.
Okay.
Membership.shepodcast. I'm not saying we won't have it up. You can look there first. But, you know, in case you're listening way later than Friday the 19th, then that's what you should do.
All right. And if you want to see the type of content that I'll be putting into our membership,
yes,
you can check out the video, which is that under $100 video. It's a 13-minute video, but I go through everything that you need, especially if you're starting a podcast. This is something that maybe you can share with your friends as well that they're starting out, because I distill everything into this, the least, like, the smallest thing. But for the Tech on a Budget stuff, I'm going to go deeper into all of this stuff. You know, whenever you create YouTube videos, you have to be so succinct, and I don't have to be that specific for the webinar. I mean, I will be more specific, but not like the end. You know what I mean? There'll be a lot more than one thing, because this was also getting everything under $100, the entire podcasting thing for under $100, not like one thing for under $100. But for Tech on a Budget, I will be talking about from free. So literally tech for free to how to move up and be able to scale up and invest more money and when you need to do that and things like that. So,
well, you know what my ex says? If it's free, it's for me. Okay. That's what my ex-husband always used to say. If it's free, it's for me. But yeah, if you guys need tech for free, Elsie is one of the few people that can tell you how to get something good that you don't have to pay for. In other words, if it's not your mic, then it's your processing. If it's not your processing, it's your hosting. If it's not your hosting, it's something else. But if you need free and it's for you, like it's for me,
then come to Tech on a Budget.
Come talk to me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, her. Holy her. Crap.
That was
bad.
Crazy.
Sorry. But funny.
Anyway. But funny. Funny but bad.
Funny but not funny. Okay. Which thing now, Elsie Lee?
I think we've covered all the things that I had here, unless you want to talk about something
I
that's
can't
coming.
Believe it.
You know, there is something that I have not spoken about, Jess, a bit to you, because I've been working very, very hard on this, and I don't even know how to begin to have this conversation truly, because it has single-handedly shifted my workflow.
Oh boy. I do love a good workflow chat.
I don't know what I would do without this now. Let's put it this way. And it is the answer to most of my prayers have been answered by this one thing. And I have been diligently learning everything I can, because that's who I am, for over a year now. And I've been consistently using this system for over a year now. And
oh my God,
I know.
The anticipation is killing me right now.
I know, but it's very hard to explain.
Oh, and so she draws it out. Okay.
So I draw it out. Well, it's called, listen, my number one app that I live in all day, every day is called Obsidian.
Oh, I my am gosh. Going to. Okay, here we go.
I'm going to put it in the chat for you all. But you have to understand that I have been working in this now for, I would say, I think I started using it.
You've been using it
during
a
the
long
pandemic.
Time. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited
yeah,
that you're
since
talking
about March, this. March or April 2020. And one of the key things that it does is that it connects, like there's linking within notes inside of it. And so you can link your thoughts to other notes. And there's tagging systems and categories, and everything works off of Markdown, which is the language, my love language online, which is what I've been writing in since, my God, I can't even tell you when I started. I think 2009,
literally forever.
I started writing in Markdown, 2011, somewhere around there, because it was the easiest way for me to get this. This is how far long it's been. Yeah. I used to have to type my blog post for Libsyn back in the day while I was nursing my children, while I was laying down in bed with one thumb.
Oh my God.
One thumb. And so the way that I would create the blog post with the one thumb is because I wrote in Markdown, because what would happen is I would email the blog post in Markdown so that I can, when I did get to the computer, I had it in Markdown and I could change it to HTML really quickly and I didn't have to format the blog. It was done. That's how I used to work, like with one thumb on the thing, and I could do everything that way. So now Obsidian is, the magic of Obsidian is not-
Oh my God, it does everything.
It does everything, but it does everything with plugins. So it's open source. So the magic of it is that everybody's writing solutions to a problem that you might want to solve. And so there's plugins that have been added on there, and there's like, you can do this sort of very minimal coding, if you will. Like I've started to learn how to code because you can add this little thing at the top of the page where it runs all kinds of things. So as of now, I have like a daily note where I have all of my to-dos that update magically because I have a little piece of code on the page. And it just updates and it delivers the things that I have to do that day. And then if I want to say, let's say, Jessica, I have something that I need to talk with you about. And I'm like walking around and I'm like, oh, my God, I have to talk to Jess about, I don't know, about what flowers we're going to have at She Podcast Live. And so and let's say you're busy. And so what I do is I go into my daily note, like anywhere on Obsidian, really. It doesn't even have to be a specific place. And I can just type in. Please talk to Jess about the flowers. And I just have to put hashtag in front of Jess. And I have a little, like it runs a little piece of code. And then the next time that I talk to Jess, I can really quickly look at that. And it pops up the things that I have to talk to Jess about.
Oh my God.
It is like,
you're kidding me.
It's amazing. It's amazing. There's so many things. That's where I write everything. It's where I have like all my meetings, everything links to each other. I'm still streamlining a lot of it because there's a lot.
Yeah, this is, I'm already behind you with the eCam. Now I got a whole nother thing that I gotta, but it does mind maps.
It has mind maps. It has like,
I like
you
that.
Can do so, it's got everything in it. So I essentially am building everything that I possibly could want inside of Obsidian. And, but again, I've been studying like every night, you know how I relax every night?
I can't wait to hear this. How?
I watch Obsidian tutorials on YouTube and it's just people sitting there going like, and now you get to do this and add the thing. And I'm soaking it in. It's all soaking. I'm just like, wow, I'm so into it. I cannot even.
So did you take everything that you had in Notion and import it into Obsidian?
I have not touched the Notion stuff because there's a couple of things that in, you know what Obsidian doesn't do is collaboration.
What? It doesn't?
It doesn't
only
do
for you.
It's yes. There are some maybe collaborative processes, but it's just my own. So if it has to do with like sharing the database of our show notes, being able to do, you know, work with a team or something like that, it doesn't work in Obsidian. So it's just me.
Okay.
So that is one thing. So I still need Notion. For this.
It has themes to make it pretty.
Absolutely. You should see I spent the last time that I just did my stuff,
oh my God.
I spent coloring my theme like you would not believe, like everything.
You can do day planning in here.
Yeah. Oh
my God. Everything. Pocket integration. That's really interesting. I'm glad you told me about it. I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah. It's deep. All right, everybody. Oh,
okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for being here at She Podcast, the podcast. Go to shepodcast.com or shepodcastlive.com for information on our event coming up October 11th through the 14th, or membership.shepodcast.com, which is how you can join us for one-on-one coaching and better, more intimate community. Did I say intimate? Yeah, intimate community and all kinds of fun tutorials and other things. So thank you guys so much for listening again and for being here. If you've been here with us live, we love you.
Mean it.
Bye.